We're in Florida ahead of the midterms, and also after Hurricane Michael cut an unbelievable swath through the Florida panhandle in the northwest part of the state, just truly unbelievable to see. A looming crisis, homelessness. FEMA and aid groups like the American Red Cross are providing temporary shelter, but then what? Especially for the poor and the low income? Well, Regan McCarthy is a senior news producer with WFSU, and Regan, I know you and your colleagues have been really pulling at this thread. It's quite a story. Michael made landfall more than 2 weeks ago, but so many people still displaced. Do we know how many?
Right. When I last spoke with FEMA, they told me there are more than 1,000 people in shelters at this point. And of course, we know that not everyone who was displaced by the storm are those people in the shelters. So we can imagine that that number is much greater than that, you know, 1,000 or so people.
Well, some might be with family or friends or in cars. Your colleague Lynn Hatter spoke with Tanja Denise Graham. She was evicted from a low-income housing project in Panama City because of the storm damage. Let's listen.
Currently living in my father's truck, my two kids, myself, and my two parents. I don't have the money right now to afford a regular house. That was a home that I built for my children, which was taken away in a disaster, and then to have to leave unwillingly and, like, forcefully is messed up. Like, I have nowhere to go. Like, I have no one to talk to about where to take my children as far as management. They have not did anything but kick us out.
So you multiply her, I'm sure, by many. And she has been approved for FEMA rental assistance. We forget about, I mean, she was in low-income housing, but there are all these renters who don't have any recourse. She got a FEMA rental assistant and is waiting on a check. But then what? I mean, where is she supposed to, so she can find housing, but where is she supposed to find housing?
Right. That's the difficult thing is that there aren't a lot of places available right now for housing. FEMA has made some hotels available. There are vouchers that you can use to stay at these hotels, but many of them are outside of the hardest hit areas. So people have to have transportation to get there. Really, there's about 20 that are accepting those vouchers. They do say, you know, trailers are on the way. People think about those FEMA trailers, but there seems to be, you know, some slowdown in the process. They say they need to work with local governments. They can't just come in there and say, here we come, we're putting these trailers here. The local governments need to ask for it. And of course, those local governments are still putting themselves back together. And so I think that's why we're seeing sort of this slow response.
Right.
There are also shelters, of course.
Yeah. Well, and by the way, we see FEMA people all over the place in their blue T-shirts. They're working very hard. You spoke with Michelle Chestnut, though. She was staying in a shelter in a local high school. I just want to listen to a little.
We stayed in a church. I mean, it was just like all the windows busted out in the back and all the trees come down and landed right beside the church, though. Yeah. I have an aunt. Her house was destroyed. A brother-in-law, his house was destroyed. Yeah, we know a lot of people that's lost their homes.
Well, so first of all, clarify for us, because driving around, this is driven home. We're in the panhandle. People might be picturing, you know, Miami Beach and thinking these are second homes or beach homes. They're not.
Right. This is a part of Florida where we have a lot more rural people, a lot more low-income people. And so these are even people who maybe don't have any insurance on their homes. They are homes that have been handed down for generations. And so since they have no mortgage, they really don't have room in their budget for insurance. They don't have that insurance, which will make this recovery even more difficult. They don't have that way to begin rebuilding their homes.
Well, and rebuilding with what? Because with so many things down, incomes have been cut. Another big challenge is joblessness, that's looming. And you heard from Mickey Gilmore, a Walmart manager in Marianna, who said people are showing up for work even though they have really trying circumstances. Let's hear.
We're getting some coming in because, one, it gives them a stability of life. Plus, we've got air. They don't have anything. And so I've got an assistant manager we call MJ. He lost his whole house. But after 2 days, he's in here with an attitude, smiling and great. It's kind of like he's just glad he has a job that he can recover from. And a lot of associates do that. It gives him a little comfort.
Yeah, when he says, we got air, he means his air conditioning.
Right, right.
How are people getting by if they have no income?
I think that it's tough. I'm hearing from people who are very concerned about it. Gilmore had opened his store. I mean, it wasn't open to the public, but he was allowing his employees to come in and just help with the cleanout process so that they could get a paycheck. Many of these people are living paycheck to paycheck. There is some unemployment, like specifically storm-related unemployment assistance available through the state. But again, that's difficult for, say, fishermen who maybe mm-hmm. don't have a good way of tracking what their income has been. And so they don't have a good way of applying for that assistance.
Yeah. Well, running water, mostly back in some places, it's not drinkable. Communications, as we have discovered, are still pretty spotty. It's just really, I have to say, it's just remarkable to see the trees uprooted everywhere. Even here, you know, inland, Tallahassee, roofs off high schools 50 miles inland. It's really quite humbling. WFSU senior news producer Regan McCarthy, thanks so much for sharing your reporting with us.
Thank you.